He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power and author of the book True Freedom. I am excited that you have joined with our broadcast of His Gospel Power. As we look into the Word of God, we discover that God is all-powerful and that Jesus is alive. He operates in our lives on a daily basis. As we go through this study, we will understand as we read the Word that Jesus is alive. We're in the 19th chapter of the book of John. And we, as Christians, know that Jesus is alive. Jesus is not in the tomb. Jesus is not decaying. Jesus is alive. He is our risen Savior. No one else can say that. The Hindus can't say it. The Muslims cannot say that. The Buddhists cannot say that. They are all rotting in their grave. But Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is today alive, and we're in His presence. There is no need for us to pray, Lord, we pray that You'll come in here today. We are in His presence at all times. He is everything that we think and say and do. He is the very breath in our body as Christians. We breathe His Spirit. Do you not know that the Spirit of Jesus Christ lives within you? Amen. He said that I have to go, and so that I might prepare, I might be able to send back a comforter, that I can prepare a place for you, and I'm not going to leave you alone, and I'm going to send you back a comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ that resides within us, that is all-encompassing and everywhere. And some say, now wait a minute, how could Jesus go up there? How come Jesus is up there, and we always talk about Him as He's here? But yet He's the Holy Spirit, He's in there, and we talk about the Father. See, we don't understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit because we do not truly understand an eternal being who is all-encompassing. We cannot fathom that in our mind. We cannot understand that the Father who is on the throne is truly in this room right now with us. That Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the Father, is truly in this room right now with us. We do not understand that the Holy Spirit, who gives us the power to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, resides within us, is truly here in this room. Right now, we do not have to pray, God, I pray You'll come in here with us today. Instead, we need to say, praise You, Lord, for we are in Your presence. But we should take that with us every single day. We are not only in His presence when we come into this sanctuary. It is not like the Holy of Holies that the Israelites, as they took the tabernacle of meeting with them. It is not to where that is where they go in. They have to go in there to experience the presence of God. Today, God resides within us. And in fact, even then, God was everywhere. The Hebrews didn't quite understand the fact that that tent couldn't hold God. He wasn't only in there. That was just the place that He designed for the focus to come to Him. And I believe it can be said about the church building today as it is the place that God has designed to come to focus on Jesus Christ. But it is not the place that He has held in this one little box. It is not a matter of going outside the doors and we leave God inside the room. We carry Him with us. Jesus Christ is alive. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He walks with you and He talks with you and He tells me I am His own. He walks with me every single place I go. He sits there and eats breakfast with me every morning at Bandas about 7 o'clock. No, it's true. He's there. Jesus Christ walks with us constantly. And He gives us power. In the book of Acts 1:8, it says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, a true power. But what is the power for? The power is to proclaim the gospel. The power is not for perception of to show how much power you have, to show how spiritual you are. The power was given to us so that we can proclaim Jesus' gospel. John 19, 16b, because we're really going to start about the second half of the 16th verse. It says, carrying His own cross, He went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha, or Golgotha. Here they crucified Him, and with Him two others, one on each side of Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and in Greek. Pilate wanted to make sure everyone could read the sign. It said, Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. The chief priests of the Jews protested, Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. All of a sudden, Pilate gains a backbone. He let an innocent man go to the cross and hang to his death. But all of a sudden, he gains a backbone and says, no, I am going to write what I have written and you can't change it. And of course, the Jews, pretty content that they had succeeded in the mission, plus they didn't have any power, backed off. You see, they sought the perception of power. Pilate had the perception of power, but Jesus told him that you would not have any power except what my Father in heaven has given to you. You would not have anything unless God Himself has allowed you to have that power. We enter into times today, perilous times in some cases, financial instability, social unrest, wars, rumors of wars, everything going on, but take heart because there is nothing that is going on that God Himself has not ordained. There is nothing that is going on that catches God by surprise. There is nothing that is going on that God Himself is not able to control. Every single thing that is going on in this world today, God has under His control. He's not only in control of Texas. He's not only in control of the United States. He's not only in control of the United Nations. He is in control of the universe, the world in which we live and the universe thereof. Vast things that go on that science can't even explain, can't even see to the end. Every time they think they got to the end of it, something else shows up. You think that's maybe God playing with them? It's almost like they think they've seen it's a little darkness out there. We think we've found the edge of the universe. God just kind of lets them get almost a glimpse of that, and then He goes, bink. He just kind of sprinkles some more stars out there. I don't know, it's just something to think about. I've always thought it was funny that they will start talking about, we see something, it looks like it was darkness out there, it's possible we've found the end, and all of a sudden, oh, never mind. It goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. Acts 4:27-31, indeed Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided before it should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word boldly. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will walk in the power of God and you will proclaim God's word boldly. You will stand for Christ. There's a song that says you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And you've got to stand for Jesus Christ if you are a Christian. You've got to know that the power that He gives to us is for a specific cause, for a specific reason, and that is for you to be His servants and proclaim His gospel and make those disciples who make disciples. What God has ordained cannot be changed. John 19:23-24 says, "When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took His clothes, dividing them into four squares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, 'They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing.'" And this is what the soldiers did. Everything that has happened, that is happening, that will happen, is ordained by God. He has it all factored in. He's got it all figured out. How does that work? I don't know. But I'm not God. Just about the time we think we've got God figured out, He comes back and says, "No, I'm sorry, you weren't listening that good." God says, "Never say never." And in fact, I've preached many times, "Never say never." Don't say, "I'll never work with those youth." Don't say, "I'll never work with the children." Don't say, "I'll never go on a mission trip to Africa." Don't say, "I'll never do anything." God has a way of taking that never and saying, I think that word never, when it comes up, He's like, "What? Oh, I heard that word again." Being a little facetious, of course, because God knows everything before you're going to say it. There is no never in God's world. There is no never in God's word. God, it has ordained every single action, every single step that He continues to do. What God has ordained cannot be changed. John 19:11, Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." Pilate has no power that was not given to him by God. And finally, walk in the power of God. John 19:25-27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Now, Jesus' brothers were still alive. So legally, the brothers would have been taken care of the mother. Legally. But God's law supersedes all of man. God made a mandate to John and said, "Take care of my mother." And John, at that point, doesn't care what the legalities, what the legal system says or anything else. And we don't truly know everything that was going on with Jesus' brothers at that time. They may have been totally against Jesus as well. We don't know. Eventually, we know that they did come along, at least James. And so we knew that that they did begin to understand that He was the Messiah. He is the King of Kings. God's has all of the power. And He tells us to walk in that power. Colossians 1:9-14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live in a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of the light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Do you think that Paul was merely writing that letter to the Colossians? And if so, why did they not just wad it up when they got through with it and toss it in the garbage can? These words were written to you. I'm going to read them again. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Even though this is Paul speaking, do you not remember Jesus praying for us? When Jesus was on this earth, He said that He would be praying for us. And as we pray this, in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, are we living a life that is worthy of God today as Christians? Do we stand for Him in everything we do, or do we only hold Him whenever it is convenient and toss Him aside at the other times? Bearing fruit in every good work. What is fruit? Ultimately, fruit is seeing souls come into the kingdom and making them disciples so that they can learn to disciple others. That's what the fruit is. Now, of course, we know the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, joy. We know that, faithfulness. Galatians 5:22 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. But what is the fruit that we are discussing? It is the fruit that is supposed to grow the kingdom. How many know that if you put a seed of fruit into the ground and it doesn't spring up into a tree, it's worthless? What's it for? It's nothing. It becomes dirt. It's dead. It becomes the dirt of the ground. God tells us to not only to plant the seed, but that we should see fruit coming from the seed that we have planted. Growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Well, Rick, I can't do this. Rick, I can't do that. Rick, I'm just not equipped to do all of that. According to His glorious might. Well, Rick, I don't want to go. And Rick, I can't speak so well. And Rick, I need somebody to help me. According to His glorious might. It is not according to your might. It is according to the might of Jesus Christ, who resides within us, that gives us the power to proclaim His word. According to His glorious might. It has nothing to do with you. In our weakness, He is made strong. Paul even held up his weakness. Paul even said, I boast of my weakness. Because in our weakness, God is made strong. Carl cannot save the world. Ron cannot save the world. Rick Hurtless cannot save the world. Denise, Becky, put any name under that blank you want to put. Anna. We cannot save the world. But through His might, all things can be done. How many have come to Jesus Christ under the message of Billy Graham? But yet Billy cannot save one single soul and never has and would never say that he has. He has proclaimed the message in the power and authority by the might of Jesus Christ. and people's lives were changed. It is time that we multiply the church, not add to the numbers, multiply. How many know that 2 plus 2 is 4? And 4 plus 4 is 8. But 4 times 4 is 16. We should be multiplying the church exponentially. How do we do that? We tell someone about Jesus Christ. And they tell someone about Jesus Christ. That gives you 4. And they tell somebody about Jesus Christ. That gives you 16. That continues to multiply exponentially as we listen to God, as we walk by His power, not by our own, as we walk out the doors boldly, entering into the mission field, wherever it is that you live. We have a thing in our preteen camp every year when I do missions. Our saying is, where is your mission field? Wherever you are is the answer to that. By the end of the week, those kids, I will say, where is your mission field? And they will all holler, wherever you are, that's your mission field. Your mission field is not in Africa. That's not to say that you can't support your missions in Africa to help your brothers along. But it is to say it does not get you off the hook for your mission field that is here as we walk in His power and authority. Jesus is alive and gives us power and authority to walk in His grace, to proclaim His Word, to speak of the power that resides within us, to help the hopeless and the dying understand that there is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope in the disparity that you're living in. We are to go with smiling faces with the power of God and tell them, look, I know you're hurting, but there's hope. There's not hope in the government. There's not hope in the world authority. There's not hope in your bank. There's not hope in your job. There's hope in Jesus Christ. In these economies that we have seen pass, we know there's no hope in the world. Big business of the world. We've seen them fall and fall and fall and fall. Continuously, like dominoes. It is falling. But there's hope. Because we don't put our hope in anything except Jesus. Proclaim that word to your friends. Teach them to proclaim it to their friends. And then we're not adding any longer. We are multiplying. That's what God calls us to do. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before You. We thank You for the strength that is given to us through Your Word. We thank You for the love that You have for us. We thank You, Father, that You have given us the Word of God that we might proclaim to others. I pray that You will fill each one today with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Their life will be rejuvenated. They will become a new person today. It starts all today. We have forgotten yesterday, and tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. But today, we walk in the power and the might of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, in Your wonderful name, that You will manifest Yourself to us. That as we step out on faith and boldly, that You will bring fruit as we proclaim Your Word. We know that Your Word does not come back void. As we walk around and doing what Your will is, which is bring souls to the kingdom, we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us on this segment of His Gospel Power. I'm Rick Hurtless. This is a listener-supported ministry, so I'm asking for your help. You could help in many ways. You could go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. If you just type in Rick Hurtless, you can take a look at the different books that I offer. My latest book is True Freedom. And, of course, you can go to my website, hisgospelpower.org, hisgospelpower.org. And there is a donate button on that website. You can click on that website. You can make a donation that way. Or if you would just like to mail it the old-fashioned way, mail your checks to P.O. Box 1569, P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And I would appreciate your help in this matter, and in fact with any future support that you would like to give to this radio ministry. If it is blessing you, if you are hearing the Word of God and you are being fed on this radio broadcast, it would be my honor to accept your donation so that I might keep bringing it to you.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.